Happy Monday, Grace.
Happy Monday, Eric. Lots of running, Kosek.
There was lots of running everywhere this weekend. I think we've gone over this, but it's definitely the fall season is upon us with the runnings of the ultras and the just mm-hmm. every distance for that matter.
Yeah, yeah. It's a lot's happening right now, even big half marathons and marathons and ultras, and everybody either just finished their big race or they're tapering for it. I feel like that's where everybody's at.
Yes, I would agree with that. You want to talk about some of it on the show?
Yeah, we probably should, I guess.
Let me say the thing, and then I'll click the button thing, and then we'll do the show thing for the 130.
Okay, so hold on. So you're going to say the thing.
Yeah.
Then you're going to click the button.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about the things.
Yeah, like after I say the thing and click the button, I have to pretend that like I enjoy talking to you and you vice versa.
I also pretend. Okay.
Yeah. You act like you like my face and stuff. Uh-huh. Like that.
Yeah. Got it. Okay.
You ready to do it?
Yeah, I'm ready.
All right, Grace, listen up. A lot of athletes had races this weekend and they all came out on the other side alive. Let's talk about some of their adventures on episode 135.
I'm Eric Idiot Runner Kosek.
And I'm Grace Hot Pants Langheim. Eric is all business in the front of the pack, and I am all about the party in the back.
That's right, business up front and party in the back. Together, we are the Running Mullet.
And we are going to talk about every aspect of running, the podium to the DNF and everything in between.
If you are a runner, this show is for you. Now sit back, get out your foam roller, and enjoy the party.
I'm super excited, Eric, because you had a big, this is an A race, you know, and in our world, we might have two A races in 1 year, but this is definitely an A race that you just had this past weekend, and you haven't talked a whole lot about it over the Facebooks. And so I feel like this is exclusive. Like this is going to be, we get to hear all about it. Us few who are on the live, we are the first ones to hear all the details about how this went down your weekend.
I plead the fifth.
No!
No, I try, you know.
It's cool. Well, I'm excited because, like, it's a lot. And we get to hear it with all the emotion and, okay, maybe not a lot of emotion because we know that's, you're still working on it. But we get to hear a little bit. Yeah.
I'm going through trying to do all of my emotions.
Yeah, we get to hear it with a little bit of pizzazz before you do your race report on the Facebook. So I feel like this is a special moment for all of us.
Whoa, a special moment for all of us. Okay, so first off, I want to talk about, I don't know what I just did. Okay. I want to talk about a couple other things that happened this weekend. Then we can talk about my race, if that's okay with you. But before we talk about other races and what other people did and what happened this weekend, coming back to what you just said is the social media aspect of racing, of telling people what you're doing, of announcing it, of being proud of it. Like it's all amazing stuff, mm-hmm. but it's also a thing.
Yeah.
Whoa. What's that? Is that you? You beeping?
I don't think I'm beeping, but mm-hmm. I might be.
But so I don't want to go too far into it, but the funny thing is that you brought it up is that last week before I raced, because you're such a good friend, you are the only person, it doesn't matter that anybody reached out, but you reached out to me and asked me if there's live tracking, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I sent you the link to the live tracking for this 24-hour race.
Mm-hmm.
That you're the only person that I knew that wanted this tracking, or like that even I'm like, so you could check it once over the 24 hours. It doesn't matter. But what I'm getting at is that popped into my head several times while I was running.
Mm.
And for me, it wasn't, I'm not saying that wasn't a good thing, because and it's so dumb. It's just my brain, but it popped in my head. Cause I'm like, there's people watching.
Mm.
There could be people watching, and it doesn't, that shouldn't matter at all of what my goal is and what I'm doing and the training I put in. Mm-hmm. There could be a bazillion people watching, or there could be zero people watching. It shouldn't affect what I'm doing out there. But yet my dumb brain is like, there's people watching. What does this mean? What are they thinking right now at hour 18 when I'm walking a loop at 18 minute mile or 20 minute mile? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So
anyway, we can get back to that a little bit, but I wanted to bring that up because I just realized that I did think of you and that, and it's like, that really shouldn't have even been a thought anywhere in my race. And but
yeah. Like, yeah.
And for most people, I feel comfortable saying for most people, it probably doesn't affect them at all. Like this whole conversation we're having right now.
Hmm.
For me, even if it's that little slight inkling of, you know, affecting something, I don't know. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, that's a cool topic. It makes me nervous whenever I get that when I'm doing an FKT, because I usually share my tracker. And so mm-hmm. I know people are watching, and a couple of people will message me. They'll say like, oh, you know, you just got past such and such. Like, I know people are watching while I'm out there. And I don't know that it's necessarily good or bad. It's just different. It's just an interesting thing that I do think about when I'm out there. I'm like, man, there's people watching.
I think my problem with it is I make it a unwarranted pressure.
Mm.
There's nothing behind it whatsoever, but it's still a pressure there, even if it's a little bit of that technically wouldn't have to be there if you didn't share mm-hmm. your tracking. We can definitely talk about it more, but I find it quite interesting that my brain takes it that way.
I think it's really interesting. And I know, I can think of one person in particular, and there's some people who will not share tracking for that reason. Yeah. So I think you're definitely not alone. But it was kind of neat to be able to check in on you every once in a while and just see where you're at and see that you're okay and be excited. So it's a neat feature. And it has kind of a double-edged sword to it.
And I truly believe it shouldn't, because whenever I'm tracking somebody, following somebody that they opened up that link for me to do, there's no judgment or thoughts on what they're doing. For me, it's just pure curiosity. Oh, that's cool. Click next thing, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like, for me to sit here and say people are judging and stuff, it's all in my head. I know this, but
And that's the only reason why I share my tracker, is because I love following other people's trackers when they're doing something really big. And I try to put myself in other people's shoes, and like, maybe somebody, and if nobody follows along, that's fine. It really doesn't bother me, but I know that there are people who like following along. So I share it, and then it's in my head. It shouldn't be.
Yeah. Anywho, this weekend I ran in Ohio. There was anybody crazy enough to go to this 24-hour race. So that was just me there. There was Becky ran Oil Creek 100 miler.
Mm-hmm.
Rhoda ran the 100K out there.
Mm-hmm.
Marisa went out to pace. Lauren was crewing. So that was a big party out there. Wineglass Marathon happened. That's up near me. It's a pretty big marathon. But that I had an athlete, Brandon Fogarty. He ran 2:38.
Nice.
18th overall. Like, dude is fast.
Yeah. That's a well-attended marathon too. So 18th is awesome.
Yeah, it's incredible. I don't even know how many people ran it, but super fast. So I wanted to make sure I gave him a shout out, because that is, I don't know, any, you go below 250s and you're just getting crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then Black Forest 100K happened this past weekend. Midnight start, 100K on the Black Forest Trail.
Super tough.
The end of the blacklist, if you want to call it, for those that have done the Triple Crown, they can attempt to finish the Black Forest Ultra and get the title of Blacklister.
Yeah.
So it's a big race. It's kind of the final big one up here in North Central PA as far as trail ultras go for the year.
Yeah.
I had 5 athletes tow the start line of Black Forest Trail Ultra. 5 finished. Yes. What? That's nuts.
Awesome.
Insane. 4 of those 5 did finish the Triple Crown and Black Forest, so they got on the blacklist. It's incredible.
Ah, that's great. And did you know about any of that while you were running?
I did not even attempt to stay up to date.
That's probably good. Yeah.
Yeah, I was getting updates from how Becky was doing and she, mm-hmm. and stuff like that. But yeah, it was a busy weekend, so you can only do so much, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Emily Bible, who was one of my athletes, she broke her finger on Black Forest, like mile 20. Yeah. And there's a picture, I think, on the Edit Runner page of that. It looks disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl just kept running with a broken pinky and finished the race. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Just a pretty successful weekend.
Man, you might even grow a heart after all this.
Yeah, that's a long shot.
Give me a couple more weekends of this.
Yeah. So yeah, congrats to everybody. I mean, that's about, were there any races down in your area?
You know, not really. I had an athlete up at Black Forest as well, but that was it. There's not a whole lot happening this past weekend down here. So we all got together and we had the first annual Flannel Fest, which was just everybody wearing flannel and hang out by a bonfire and running 1.5 mile loops in a field, eating some dogs, hanging out.
How many 1.5 mile loops do we do?
I did one. There was a lot more hanging out. There were definitely some loops that were completed. There were prizes given out for best flannel, things like that. But we just all hung out. So there was not a whole lot. I had several athletes finishing up the kind of their last big run before their taper. So I've got a few who have their big race at the end of this month. But there's not a lot of races down here at that time.
Is this Flannel Fest an annual event, or is this the first annual?
This was the first annual. Yeah. Hmm.
And you got to wear flannel.
Yeah. Nah, you don't have to. But it was good. We had a good turnout. It was fun.
Wasn't it hot?
It didn't start until 4. So the flannels were great for the evening time because it gets cold quick now. So it was kind of like a lot of people, you know, had their long runs in the morning, whatever, and then you could come over and hang out for dinner and hang out afterwards into the evening. It was nice.
Sounds fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Shout out to Ruthie, who, it was her dad's property. It's just open field. They use it for barbecues and hunting and that kind of stuff. But we got to use the property, so it was nice.
Sounds like there should be a race put on there.
Yeah, well, we were talking about doing a race, and we do have a trail series down here that's 8 races, something like that. We were talking about using that as like the finale for the trail series. That'd be kind of fun. In October.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let's talk about it. It's enough delaying. Okay, so first off, what did you do? So, you know, tell us about the venue, the setup, all that kind of stuff.
It was a 1 mile loop around a little lake that was just south of Cleveland, Berwick, Berwick Lake or something. A paved loop around a lake with more elevation gain than they said it was going to have. Not that it's a lot, but when you're doing these 24-hour runs, you don't want a lot. So I took walking breaks every mile purposefully, and every little thing they called a hill, I was walking up. But anyway, that was the course. It was actually, I mean, I enjoyed it. It was pretty. Mm-hmm. I don't really understand why I like these loopy races so much, but like I was just telling Becky, at no point did I get tired of the loop. I mean, you do a 1 mile loop a couple times and most in a, even a training run, and it's like, all right, I'm ready to do something else. I'm tired of this repetition, but your brain kind of just goes numb to that. And it's like, this is where you live now. This is your life. And
yep.
I guess what I'm saying is I have so many negative thoughts during a 24-hour race or any race that's long like that. But that's, for some reason, that's not one of them, where I would think that would be at the top of the list for this type of race, you know? Mm-hmm. And a lot of these races, these looped shorter courses, they purposefully turn you around at like the 4-hour marks or even the 12-hour marks, just to mix it up a little bit. It seems silly, but going backwards on the loop, you know, it's different. This one did not. It was the same direction for 24 hours. But that was I'm confused with my brain. That it's like, come on, brain, really? You're not going to get negative about that and still get weird about other stuff? It amazes me. My brain works that way.
Yeah. But and they had 12-hour and a 24-hour. And I think that's part of it is the difference for me between a training run and a race is, at least during the race, you can see different people. But they had like a 12-hour and a 24-hour, right?
Yeah, they both started at the same time. I think they had they were planning on doing a 12-hour that started at the 12-hour mark at 8:30 at night. And I don't think enough people signed up for that. So I think they canceled that or something. But yeah, this is a qualifying race to make the 24-hour national team. But because the world championship is next week, we're not in the qualifying time period yet. After that race next week in France, then the next 2-year window opens. So next year at this time, this race could be a qualifier as long as it happens again. But this was, you know, no pressure for anyone that wanted to make the national team. They couldn't at this mm-hmm. race. So numbers were probably a little lower because of that.
Mm.
But I kind of like that because there was no pressure. This was, oddly as it sounds, a training run for me because I wanted to complete the 24-hour mark finally. Not that I've tried too many times, but to get that under my belt and to attempt mileage that I feel like my training and my body can handle that I haven't done yet.
Mm-hmm. So what was your mileage? Like, you had kind of a few goals in mind. You had, you know, you wanted to do certain things for this race, which is really a training run. But tell us about, like, what your goals were. Like, going into this, I want to be able to do this and this and this and this, you know?
Yeah, so in May when I did Dawn to Dusk to Dawn, that was the last race of the qualifying period to make the 24-hour national team. Mm-hmm. And me being who I am, I was rushing things. I was like, I want to make the team now all of a sudden. So, and that race was close to me. I was like, well, this is my goal. I'm going to run 150 miles or whatever it was and make the team. And I believe I talked about it on here. My problem with that, my number one problem with that was the only goal I made, which was a amateur mistake, very amateur mistake. And I'm willing to admit that, but it was the only goal I made. And when that physically definitely wasn't possible, I had no reason to keep going in my head at that race. So I stopped. There was other things also. I feel like something I trained good for it, and then I had very bad luck. It could have been Lyme disease at that time. It could have just been my head. I don't know. Well, it doesn't really matter to sit here and try to figure out what it was because I'll never know. But that, you know, I stopped at the 12-hour mark of that one. So this was training run for the next 2-year period that I can qualify for and redemption to at least get the 24 hours under my belt with a half decent mileage was the A goal. B goal was low, you know, less miles, but obviously we're, no matter what, the goal was to walk it in, even if I stopped running it 3 hours in, I was going to walk for 24 hours.
Nice.
So yeah, bunch of different step goals type of thing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And you had a pacing goal too, right?
Which is easy to come up with. If you have a mileage in mind, you know, you just do some math and that many miles over 24 hours, you can pretty much lock in the best way to run these races from everybody I've talked to and everybody that does well at them is consistency is key. Yeah. Mm-hmm. There's no banking miles. I mean, some people do and kudos to them, but the safest game plan is to run consistent from mile one to when you finish.
Yeah. But you didn't completely do that. You did do a great job of holding back in the beginning. But if you look at your splits, which I remember getting up in the morning and looking at your splits, and you got faster at the end and you turned out some pretty fast miles considering you were over 100 miles at that point. So what happened? Tell us about that. You went from, you know, 9-minute miles to 7-minute miles. You really kicked up the pace. So how did you do that?
Yeah, it wasn't 9-minute miles. It was 10:30s, 11s down to, I was just running as fast as I could. I don't know. When you find out the answer to that, you let me know.
Awesome.
I'm going to be thinking about it for a long time. At mile 117 and before, during these races, you have plenty of time to think. So I knew I wasn't reaching my A goal of mileage, which was 130. That was my A goal. 24 hours was A goal. 130 miles was A minus goal in 24 hours. And, you know, I have average pace on my watch. So I know what pace is going to get me to 130 average overall. And I slowly watched it crept away just due to lows during the race and things like that. So it was more like 125 if I kept up the same pace that I had been. I don't know. And so that was my motivation. There's other motivations. This is the first race I've never raced competition, my competition. And that's very, very hard for me. And I think a lot of competitive people will understand that it's not as simple as just saying, you know, they're not there because they are there. Mm-hmm. So it's something I have to hammer into my head over and over and over again in order to not get caught up in their race, not run somebody else's race and stick to the plan. And that happened here. I came in second overall. Alec Klein, he was a second place finisher at Eastern States. Him and Gabe battled it out at the end. Great runner, great ultra runner. He had 139 miles this weekend. Mm-hmm. The fact that I knew that, okay, if I have 2.5 hours left and I'm 22 hours in, I feel good right now. If I can run fast, I can either run fast and then bomb within the hour and still finish and still have a good time and be happy with it. Or there's a chance if I run fast, I've done training at that those distances and this slower for me pace of what I'm used to. Maybe I can hold on and not have another low. We'll go off on a sidetrack real quick. If you look at my pace chart from mile one to 133 from this past weekend, anybody can instantly see where my lows are. And it's pretty cool because I mean, a lot of times, and other people will probably agree, you bring lows on yourself, you stay in them longer because your mindset's not there and this and that. I don't think that was really the case. There was this weekend, the heat was a factor. My nutrition was a factor. And I guess those two being the biggest, it's just cool. You can easily see those groups of miles of 4 to 6 miles, I'm guessing, where it's slow. I was walking and just fighting through it. And then you can see when I come out of it and get back to my 10:30s paces.
Yeah.
I don't know where the legs came from at the end. It's pretty cool. It's a cool thing to unlock in yourself when you do something that's really like this isn't making sense and nobody to anybody, but yet my legs have the energy to go. And I think we all have those like end of race highs. I've had it at Eastern States. I've had it at a bunch of different races where like, you don't know where it comes from. It's your head because you know you're close to the end. It's how our human body works. But this was a little different. Like, I don't physically know how it's had that juice to keep going.
Yeah, I mean, I've had it for, you know, say the last 20 minutes of a race, but you had it for like 2 hours. I mean, it was pretty cool to see. And it was neat to see the results as they came along and then to see the pacing afterwards. I saw in the beginning, you know, you're kind of kicking back to fourth place and then, you know, later on got that second place and you just kicked it up a notch. And I don't know, it was impressive. It was cool. And it was exciting to see as a spectator, cause you're like, oh, he's feeling good. He's feeling good. And I wonder, did you get any sense? I forget what was the gentleman's name again? Who was first place?
All right. So we'll talk about it. If he's watching. What?
Well, I gotta ask my question though. What's his name again?
Alec Klein.
Alec, did you get any sense that Alec felt a little bit of pressure and also started running faster? Because I was looking at his splits and he was very fast at the end.
He ran step for step for me. We're on the other side of the courses, but let me answer that by taking the long route around. Okay.
I like it. Good.
Alec Klein is a very, very good ultra runner and very good human. I learned that this weekend. Awesome. Okay. So he went out a lot faster than me and I didn't care because I had a plan. I was sticking to it. So he got easily early on. He got 6 miles ahead of me, whatever. It doesn't matter. He didn't exist. He got to the 100-mile mark, which is a big thing to hit at any race. And he took a break at that point.
Yep.
And I was at nine, let's just say I was at 93. I think I was 7 or 8 miles behind him. As he took his break and took a nap in the tent, I took, I think, 2 or 3 miles off. Cause I didn't take a break. I kept moving. I didn't care. I was just staying doing my job.
Mm-hmm.
He had stated during the race to a couple crew, and I overheard it was like, you know, once he gets to 100 miles, he's just going to walk it in. This was his first 24 hour. He was happy with it, whatever. I'm like, okay, cool. You know, if I can do my job of keeping my pace and make my goal and have a chance at winning, all the better, but that's not my intent. So his crew member noticed that I had just made up 3 miles on him, and still 5 miles at our, let's just say 17 or 18. All he had to do was keep moving around that 1 mile loop, even though I'm running, and it's very hard to catch up to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, he had to keep moving. So anyway, he got up and started moving. We met up on the course and got to know it, talked for a few minutes, and basically it made me laugh. He said, just so you know, and I forget the exact words, but there's no way I'm going to let you catch up. And I said, oh dude, I said, I know. And I said, I'll be honest with you. I could care less. And it was the truth. I was like, yeah, I'm winning. This wasn't my goal. I have a plan. I'm sticking to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I forget what he said, but he didn't believe it. He thought he thought I was coming for him, right? So we kind of get split up, and I run a lap or two more, and with this back this live tracking, and he was worried that I was coming for him, even though I was sticking the same pace. All right, so first of all, him saying that, the reason I'm telling this story is him saying that you're not going to catch me, that was the match that lit my fire.
Oh, yeah.
And it wasn't because I didn't care about him. I wanted my goal, but it lit my fire enough to say, well, I only have 2.5 hours left. I can leave my plan behind me at this point and send whatever I have left. The mm-hmm. worst that's going to happen is I crash out in 20 minutes and walk loops till 24-hour mark crying like a big baby. Who cares?
Right.
I still finish. I still walk away happy. So that was the fire that lit my match. So after I split with him, I ran the first fast lap, which was like a 7:20 or 7:30. And I forget what made him look, but he had his phone on him when he was doing his lap, and he looked at my pace and instantly knew I was coming for him. So basically I forced this guy to run the fastest he's ever run, hardest he's ever run for 2.5 hours because he's scared of catching him when I didn't even care if I ever caught him or not. Instead of this, I told him afterwards, I was like, I was not trying to catch you. I was trying to get my pace down low enough to reach that 130 benchmark, mm-hmm. which I barely managed to pull off, but I did it by doing that. He was just an added fuel for that fire.
Yeah.
But so that's kind of how it went down. And it's a good example. And I told him this after the race. I said, if you could have ran that and you ran 139 miles, why did you need me to do it? You know, mm-hmm. next time, if you like this stuff, like it should be a learning lesson. Like you have it in you.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, big respect to him because he did exactly what I did because it was provoked, but his legs still had to go that pace. I don't know how we did it.
But yeah.
We were flying.
Yeah. I'm glad you had all that detail because I was kind of curious what happened. He did have a big break in there. And then all of a sudden he's running right about the same time as you. He's running 7-minute miles. And then I think his last mile was a 6-something. That was pretty cool to see. And I think it's not necessarily it's competitive. It's competitive spirit, but it's also a little bit of it, I think, is being inspired. You know, it's being inspired by somebody else and saying, oh, well, if they can do it, maybe I can do it too. And that's pretty cool.
It was a very interesting interaction, what happened those 2.5 hours between him and I, because I don't really know why he matched me. I have a lot of respect for him for doing it because it was fast, Grace. Like, I know the numbers, like, that long into a 24-hour, it was so fast. I still can't get over it, and I'm not going to mm-hmm. for a while. But I couldn't catch – if he was running 10-minute miles or 12-minute miles like he did the rest of the race and walking half of it in between, so average of 15-minute mm-hmm. miles – math would not allow me to ever catch him in the amount of time left.
Right. Period.
All he had to do was just move.
Yeah.
So I don't know what motivated him to keep the gap where the mileage gap between him and I.
Right.
But he did. Yeah,
you didn't need to.
He didn't need to. I couldn't catch him. As I tell him, like, what are you doing this for? Because I literally couldn't catch you even if I wanted to.
Yeah.
So it was kind of fun. It was kind of interesting. It was amazing. And I mean, I pushed. He wasn't, I can 100% assure you that he wouldn't have ran what he did those last 2.5 hours if I wasn't there. So that alone is pretty neat.
Yeah, that is pretty neat. I think that's just cool when you hear those kinds of stories and have that experience. And congratulations to Alec and congratulations to you for your big accomplishment. And also you got to push somebody else to help them get some pretty, pretty big miles, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, no, it was fun. The heat, I mean, they moved this race back in October to get rid of get rid of some heat, and we were lucky enough
to have a very
hot weekend. It was 85 out there, middle of the day. And
well, that's the other thing. You guys were still, this wasn't like a 5K or anything. You still had to take care of yourselves and get those kinds of fast miles in. So you still got to eat, you know, you still got to make sure that you're taking care of chafing and all of those things. That's just awesome.
Yeah, I thought I handled the heat pretty well. And then I threw up all my stomach contents at like mile 40, 41.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened there. One thing, I don't know. I guess I would say I'm an idiot with a lot of this running stuff, but I've been focusing a lot more on nutrition and sodium and kind of following the high carb fad that's going on. But one thing I think I realized this weekend, and it sounds very, very, very simple, but I still want to say it, is obviously numbers you can get on the internet and stuff are generalized. It's 400 to 800 calories. And, you know, it's a big gap, but what they don't really mention too often, unless you dig a little deeper, is all that's in relation to your average heart rate.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So,
and the weather.
I made the huge mistake, and I'm okay admitting it because I'm excited to fix it and to see where it takes me in this type of event and any running in general. I believe that I don't need nearly the amount of calories that average me would need, person like me would need, because I have an exceptionally low heart rate.
Mm-hmm.
Exceptionally low. And not only that, is these 24-hour endurance races, you're not at a high intensity anyway.
Mm-hmm.
My average heart rate for the 24 hours, including the last 17 that were sub 8-minute miles, my average heart rate was 111. So that's telling me that my body, if I'm putting a ton of calories in there, high carb stuff, my body isn't working hard enough to process it.
Mm-hmm.
And I could be totally not on the right track, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened at mile 40. For one, I was taking sodium tabs because it was hot and I was trying to keep track of everything. So I probably had too much sodium too, but I don't think that was the only thing. But I was basically fueling every 30 minutes and filling my stomach up, and it wasn't draining out.
Yeah.
It being used. Pretty amateur mistake. I'm sitting here admitting it, but there's still might be one person that doesn't realize it. But moving forward, I've been upping my intake of everything, following the high carb approach, but that's only for mostly for intense events and stuff like that. So I'm excited to try this type of event with trickling stuff in much slower than I was, and seeing how I hold up.
Yeah. It's a tricky equation. And I think it also changes with the weather. I think that the weather, it just makes it harder for digestion to happen, you know?
Yeah, 100%. It could have just been the heat. But I'm still going to play around with it, especially I'm looking at 111 heart rate. I still, and that was with that was accurate data with the arm strap, Corus arm strap on the whole time.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. It's very, but it needs to be, I think it definitely needs to be considered in fueling for this low intensity stuff. So it's,
And I think figuring out fueling is, it's just a really good use of time and training within a training cycle when you're doing things like a 24 hour and when you're going for, you know, PRs and wins and that kind of stuff.
Well, and the whole problem with this long stuff, ultra racing in general and 24 hour events, is you can't replicate it in training. The most hours I did was Pine Creek 50, which was 7 hours. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I did fine there. But most of the stuff is your 2 hour long run, your 3 hour long run, your 4 hour long run. It doesn't matter how screwed up your fueling is. By the time you're done running is when shit would hit the fan anyway.
Yeah.
So you can't get a clear picture of what really happens at hour eight and things like that, it's hard to unless you do these, you know, do a practice race or something.
Mm-hmm. Now, we did have a couple of questions come in. One, this is on the topic of nutrition, so I'm going to ask this now. How many gels did you have? Did you do the math?
I believe I added up and it was 39.
Okay.
I think somewhere in the 30s.
Yeah. That's not bad. And was that 100 calorie gels or 160s? What was that, Morton?
No, that was Cis isotonic gels. The plan was to have a gel every 30 minutes for the entirety of the event. Mm-hmm. But as plans in ultra running often goes, that went out the window.
Yeah.
I mean, I hit steady for a while, but after I threw up, you know, had to miss an hour and I ate some soup. And,
yeah, regroup for a bit.
Yeah, we got back on track and I kept consuming them. At the end, I was consuming them when I was running fast, no problem.
Okay.
Things like that. But yeah, I still think I'm going to reduce my nutrition a little bit, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's also, 40, you know, we're
45 minutes or
yeah, electrolyte. I was drinking a bottle of electrolyte mix every hour. So mm-hmm. That was,
it's a lot.
We stuck to the plan. It was a lot. Another quick weird thing to me, at least, was like we started with the bottle of electrolytes from the beginning, and I did for, you know, sipping it throughout the hour and being done on the hour and grabbing another one, doing the same thing. And I peed twice in the first 2 hours, stopping at the porta potty. I was like, this is perfect. I'm drinking it in. It's coming out. And I think I went one other time, not too long after that, 3 or 4 hours in, and then completely stopped. Drinking the same amount, a lot.
Wow.
Yeah, I know it's hot out, but I wasn't sweating that. But it completely stopped for about 8 hours, 8 or 9 hours, I believe.
Wow.
And I was like, feeling my stomach. I'm like, I don't feel bloated. I don't feel like I'm holding on to this, but I should be urinating by now.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, we don't need to talk about urination very much, but it got to the point where it's like, I don't have to pee at all, but I'm going to try to. So I tried to, and I went, but it was very yellow and not much came out. And then I was like an hour later, as I actually felt like I had to. So I went a little bit and it was a little more, but it was the same. It was dehydrated. And then slowly after that, it got back to normal. But that was a huge gap.
Yeah.
Just the heat of the day. I don't know what happened there. Something shut down.
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. But I mean, you worked through it all and you didn't give up on yourself and just had
no,
it
I mean,
that it was, you were going to keep going.
That's what I'm most proud of for this race is that there was my usual head games that I play, that my brain plays with me and stuff, but we problem solved through all of them and kept moving forward and came the highs and lows, no matter what, when you're in a low, you don't feel like you're ever going to come out of it, no matter how many times you're there, at least me. And, you know, you always do. And all of a sudden you have a burst of feeling normal for 10 miles.
Yeah. And you just proved, I mean, you can have a low, you can be puking and then you can be running 7:30 miles later on. Like that's pretty awesome. That's just a really great training run.
Yeah, the puking felt great. I was, as soon as I got done and got moving, and I was like, oh, my stomach feels so much better. And then it's really went off again.
Yeah.
Well, there's quite a few people puking on the course that day. I think, you know, obviously the heat was the biggest factor, but
yeah, you worked through it. Gabe also asked, well, first he said, amazing job, Eric, ! And then he asked, did Alec wear his chili pepper shorts again?
No, he wore Ghost short, the Ghost, what's the brand?
Chicken legs?
Chicken legs. Yeah. I was staring at his butt when he was in front of me and they were, I believe that Ghost or aliens.
Oh,
might have been
what aliens. Did you go with for yourself?
Oh, it's very complicated. They're just black shorts.
Oh.
No, I'm no fun. You know that.
No, you do have fun shorts.
I do, but
yeah,
they're the fun shorts. I don't trust chafing.
Yeah.
So yeah. We got some crotch chafing for those that want to know. It was hot enough that I got some crotch chafing.
Oof.
Nothing bad. I dealt with it with some nut butter when I was out there, and
oh, that's good.
After the hot weather went away, it didn't bother me at all.
But. Oh, that's good. So you worked through that too.
Yeah. It was crazy. So yeah, that was my training run. Now the idea is to do another one sometime next year, maybe up the mileage a little bit, see what we can do with that.
That's exciting. A cool, thanks for the recap. You took us all the way through it. That was a good recap.
Yeah. I'm sorry. I talked too much. There's so much.
No, more. This is perfect. Usually you don't talk enough about this kind of stuff. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah. So back to the beginning of the show. I'm one to, because I have the Idiot Runner family, like Facebook page and stuff, like I like posting what I have coming up. It makes me feel good and stuff. And I like hearing what other people are doing.
Mm.
And I don't know, it's just part of the fun of social media to me and this crazy sport we all like doing.
Yeah.
But I purposefully like didn't want to talk about this one as much, just to see if my brain liked it any better.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing, like, I don't know, for me, it really is a stupid thing. But the more people that I know believe in me and count on me, the more negative my brain can make that during a race when I'm in a low.
Yeah.
And it sounds so opposite of what it should be. It should be the motivation to keep pushing when life sucks and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I don't know. I kind of liked it.
Good. Well, you figured it out. It was another thing that you figured out.
Maybe. No. We'll see. Yeah.
Well, you got to post some pictures at least now. Now that you've told the story, we got to see some photos.
Okay.
Good.
I'll take some photos in my shorty shorts with my nut butter on.
Good. I can't wait.
Since you just asked for a shout out, I will definitely shout out Kaylee Frederick was my crew, because Becky was at Oil Creek kicking butt herself. So mm-hmm. Kaylee was gracious enough to come crew me for this race and hand me gels every half hour and not sleep and stuff like that. So she did a phenomenal job, and I owe a lot to her and all the other crew members that are out there cheering us on.
Yeah. That's awesome.
And she's going to France. I'm going to France with her to crew her in France this coming week, which is nuts, for the 24-hour championship.
Yep. Man, that's going to be exciting. I can't wait. Can't wait to follow along. All the things.
Yep. It's going to be something. I'm looking forward to just the experience of it, especially because I have goals of getting there myself someday. So for me, it'll be good experience to see how it all functions, and it's mm-hmm. gonna be the elite, most elite 24-hour runners in the world. And the cool part is there's a dude who's going for the world record for mileage. So just to watch that and see how that progresses through the 24 hours is quite incredible, because the pace that we're talking is quite literally like not even believable, but.
Man, that's going to be an exciting vibe. Can't wait to hear all about it. Not next week, but the week after we'll get to hear about it, right?
Correct. Yep.
Do you think Kaylee will come on the show to talk about it?
I'm thinking maybe she will, but who knows? She might have better podcasts to be on first. You know, might have to schedule her out by that point.
Okay. Well, the other ones, they can schedule it at a different time. We're live.
We're just importanter.
Yeah, we are importanter.
Yeah. Anyway, so yeah, what you doing this weekend?
Going for a fun bike ride in Jim Thorpe.
Oh, that's a cool town.
Yes, especially in October because it's beautiful in October. And then I'm going to be running Green Monster on Sunday.
Whoa, that's this weekend.
It is. Green Monster, I think it is one of the – there's a 15K, 25K, and a 50K, and I think it's one of the most underrated 50Ks in Pennsylvania.
I would agree with that one. It's a great one. Great home, great low-key, like, no-frills type event.
Yeah, it's so pretty, and it's just got all the cool vibes, and I just love this race. I've been very nervous to go back to it because I'm not going to beat my time, but very good friend and friend of the show, Laura, said she would run it with me, so now we're going to have an awesome time, and I can't wait.
Very, very cool. Well, I will be on... I think I'll be on an aeroplane somewhere over the Atlantic Ocean at that point, but my cross country team will be at the first aid station with the middle school coach. So make sure you high five them and smile. Don't be mean to them, Grace. I know you have a tendency to be mean.
I do. Absolutely.
And I have a tendency to be mean. Becky will be there giving you high fives. So
yay.
Have fun, and we look forward to hearing about that on the upcoming show.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be exciting. Becky, she wanted to do sub 24 at Oil Creek, and she did, right?
Her A goal was sub 22.
Ah.
She got 23.44, which was, nice. You know, she kind of thought that was more of where she was. Where she would end up anyway, that, you know, mm-hmm. She just sub 22 is always a goal of her. I think they give out a different buckle at 22 hour mark, sub 22 hour mark. So it's still there, but I mean, that's part about these races is you can always go back and give it another try. She had a good day, very consistent, for that course. And what's that? What'd you say?
Hey, your audio just cut out on me.
I don't know. I can still hear myself talking.
But I don't know if my audio cut out on you.
I can hear you.
So you can hear me. That's good. I can't hear you. I don't know if everybody else can. But you got the good sign language going.
Can you hear me now?
No. Oh. There we go.
Now?
Yeah, now we're good. Now, Chip said both our audio is fine, so it must be something on my side. All righty. Well, if my computer is giving up on this podcast, then maybe it's time that we wrap it up.
Yep. Have a good weekend. Have a good race.
Thank you. Have a lovely time in France. Good luck to Kaylee. I hope you guys have an awesome time and enjoy it and have some good cheese and bread.
Got it.
Check.
All right. Have a good week, everybody. Grace, force them to tune in and all that stuff.
Yeah. Tune in, do the likes and the shares and have your friends tell their friends and we can all be friends. And subscribe on YouTube because we're almost up to some numbers, some cool number on YouTube. I forget what it is, but help us get up to that number by subscribing on YouTube and watch a show 7:30 Eastern Mondays every week, all weeks, all the time.
Perfect. Okay. All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.